So I'm on this mailing list with Scarlet Moon, and he sends me information about different bands and different composers, stuff from that relates to video games, especially stuff that's really interesting, like classical guitar or orchestral themes of video game music. And I open this email, it's like, this is a band called The Hit Points. I'm like, all right, what is this? Bluegrass? What? So I immediately say, yes, I want to talk to these people. So I am really happy to have The Hit Points on Press Start and Continue. Thank you for being on the show, guys.
Hey, thank you so much for having us.
So my first question is, like, what are your names and how did you get together?
My name is Matt Minifee. And I play the banjo and mandolin. And
my name's Eli Bishop, and I play all the violin stuff on the album.
And I guess we got together. I guess I was on tour with Warren Haynes of the Allman Brothers and Government Mule, and that was kind of coming to a close, and things were, you know, getting a little, you know, what's the next step, and for me, and I had a hang with Eli, and we talked about our passion for video game music. So called him up, and we met in a dimly lit cantina in the back of a local Mexican restaurant, and hashed out how are we going to do this, and here we are.
So you're just in the back of a restaurant, just looking sketchy.
Exactly. Yeah,
the cantina was only open once.
Yeah, it was like,
and now it's closed.
It was open for that week, maybe for a couple days, and it's been closed ever since. And we go over there all the time. We ask them, when is it open, and they just kind of roll their eyes. They're like, no, the cantina's not open yet. And so
it's kind of special. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
really. they should put up a plaque like birthplace of the Hit Points. So what made you want to play like a bluegrass version? Like, I've never heard of a bluegrass version of video game music, honestly, and I've played a lot of it, and it's so what made you think to start doing that?
Well, I think, you know, Matt and I both live in Nashville, Tennessee, and when we originally met, we met at a jam in a spot called the Five Spot. They used to have an old time and bluegrass jam on, I think it was Wednesday nights.
That's right.
And,
yeah, Wednesday.
So we met through a bluegrass jam anyway. And it was a pretty popular thing for a long time. And Matt being a banjo player and me being a fiddle player, it's made a lot of sense to try and do it bluegrass. You know, we heard everybody doing lots of different versions of video game music with different genres, but we didn't see anybody doing bluegrass yet. And we thought, well, we love this stuff. And we just kind of would goof off and play the music every now and then. So we thought, well, we might as well go ahead and go for it. Since nobody else has done it yet, we might as well do it.
It does come through that you're just like, it really sounds like you're just hanging out and just having fun playing music from games that you love. Is that basically a good description of how that works?
Absolutely. Yeah. There was one night where Matt and I just sat around and played a couple games of Halo, and then we would go and play a couple fiddle tunes, and we'd go back and play some Halo, and then we'd play, you know, like a Mario song or something. It's kind of pretty fun night 4 or 5 years ago now.
That's excellent. So let's back up. Can you describe what bluegrass is for the listeners? Because like a lot of my listeners, you know, they like hip hop and just straight up like electronica or something like that, but obviously, there's not a lot of bluegrass. So what can you describe, like, what that is in general?
Well, bluegrass is a genre that was started by Bill Monroe, who was the father of bluegrass, back in the 40s, I think. And he, you know, would... he kind of combined his take of country songwriting, I guess, you know, kind of created his own style of songwriting and a combination of Irish Celtic music, I suppose, and combined with like the sounds of, you know, Appalachia old time music and fiddle music and it's just been kind of taken off from there. It's definitely a steeped in that kind of tradition for sure.
But
High Lonesome Sound is what they call it. It's just, I mean, through the years, I mean, they've kept it, they've tried to keep the tradition, you know, alive and well. And I think, you know, a lot of players now are incorporating a lot of different styles of music and you know, progressive, trying to, you know, help it evolve and become more modern. And you have, you know, bands like, you know, Strength in Numbers with Bela Fleck and Mark O'Connor, Edgar Meyer, Sam Bush, you know, those kind of guys, Newgrass Revival, and now like the Punch Brothers and bands like that. So
no, it's interesting. I'd like to play some of your music now. The first one I was thinking is called Nason's Road of Trials. It's a cover of a theme from the game Journey. Can you tell me anything about this song? Like, actually, you were saying that guys switched off writing music. So which one of you wrote Nascence?
Yeah, this was mostly my arrangement. All of these songs, I mean, Matt and I started working on demos probably, 2016? Yeah. I think he and I decided to work on this stuff, we both sat down and did some demos at home, just kind of playing all the parts ourselves, except for, you know, he would leave the fiddle out and I'd leave the banjo out, and then we'd get together and we'd workshop it together. But Nascence and Road of Trials here from Journey was one I wanted to do because I had worked a little bit with Austin Wintory, the composer for that game. I used to play in a group called the Videri String Quartet when I lived in Boston. I think you're actually located close to Boston, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm in Western Mass. I'm around. Gotcha. Valley View Radio broadcasts out of Florence, Massachusetts, next to me.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I've been through Northampton before, I think. But yeah, so I lived in Boston for 2 years and I played in a group called the Videri String Quartet. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them or not. But they're worth checking out too. They're a string quartet who does video game music. So I had done some arranging for them, and they Journey came out and they got in touch with Austin Wintory, and I did an arrangement for string quartet of Nascence Going in the Road of Trials from that game. And it was one of the harder arrangements I did then. And then when I wanted to do it for this project, it was just as difficult as it had been before. I was hoping it would be a little easier since I'd worked with it once before, but the track is so heavy on percussion in the original version in the game. And on our album, we don't have any percussion at all. It's all just string band instruments.
Yeah.
And so to take that and arrange something that doesn't have as many themes and is more, I mean, there are themes in it, but there's a lot going on and a lot of it's ambiance from percussion. So that was a pretty tough arrangement to do, but it was, you know, we spent some long hours on all of these songs, but Nascence is a beautiful song. And the original version of it's a cello playing it on the, in the game. We had a friend of ours who's a great, bass player named Ethan Yojevitz. He is a great classical and all around bass player. So we had him play the cello part on the bass. It's pretty up high there. And so,
killed it.
Yeah, he did kill
yeah,
it.
So seriously.
Once we got that done, I just stacked as many strings as I could on there to fill out the harmonies, and Matt was doing all kinds of cool harp parts and everything else on the banjo. And yeah, that was a fun one. That one was probably one of our more cut together ones. Some of these we did more live than others, and then that one, anytime there's a lot of strings stacked on there, it's a lot more layering going on. But that was a lot of fun to do.
Well, this let's hear it right now. This is Nascence Road of Trials by The Hit Points from their album, The Hit Points.
Thank you.
You're listening to Press Start to Continue on Valley View Radio, WXOJOP 103.3 FM. I'm talking with the Hit Points, and that was Nason's Road of Trials from Journey, from their recently released album called The Hit Points. Can you believe it? you were talking about how you had your friend play the bass. What was it? What was his name again? I'm sorry.
Ethan Yojevitz.
And when I was listening to your music, it sounded like, you know, you have this full sound. You have the banjo and the strings and the bass. And I was wondering, do you guys play all of that music, or do you have people, different people come in like Ethan? Or how do you record all of that?
It's a little bit of both. When Matt and I were doing the demos for it, he was, you know, we were playing all the instruments ourselves. So he'd track the banjo, the guitar, and the mandolin stuff at home. And I'd go home and I'd be doing my demo. I'd do the fiddle, the guitar, and the mandolin. And on the album, Matt played mandolin on most of the tracks on there. I played mandolin on a few of the tracks as well. And, but for this album, we wanted to bring in some of our friends who are really great, you know, at those instruments, they are the masters of their instruments. Mm-hmm. Just like Matt's primarily a banjo player, though he plays all those other instruments well. We wanted to get somebody who's primarily a guitar player, primarily a bass player, to play those instruments on there so we could really make the best quality sound and stuff we could. So we had a buddy of ours named Jake Stargell. He played guitar on every track on the album, and he actually engineered it as well. We recorded this album at his house in his living room on some nice gear and a laptop. So
he's got some great gear.
he does have some great gear, but he was a huge part of this album as well. And then we just pulled in some of our friends and got them to play on the songs that we could. And that was kind of how we did that. You know, Matt played dobro actually too on one of the tracks. Oh, it didn't make it on the album though. That's right. The Kirby track. It's on an OC remix.
Yeah, but.
Video to come soon.
that track I played on a previous show.
Awesome.
The one that that aired on the 23rd of July. If anybody wants to listen to that, you can go to starttocontinue.com. Just look for the show that was on July 23rd, and that was the song that I closed out the first hour with. It was really interesting, really great.
Thanks.
Yeah, and you were talking about, what was a dobro?
Dobro is a
standard.
It's a standard bluegrass instrument. You want to tell them about it, Matt?
Yeah, man. So it's just it's a Respironics guitar with a raised
nut,
raised nut and bridge, and it's you play it with a slide. They call it the old hound dog in bluegrass.
Interesting.
Yeah. In fact, Flat and Scruggs, I guess, kind of made it popularized it, and they're, you know, a legendary bluegrass act, and they had a guy named Josh Graves, who played dobro with them, and then, you know, Jerry Douglas, who I think is the most recorded artist of all time. I'm thinking.
Wow. Interesting.
It is a dobro player, and he's made, just trailblazed paths for it like you couldn't imagine.
So he's awesome, man. 16, 17 Grammys or something.
What, yeah, is
it? Wow,
quite a few.
He's the dude, man.
That's, but, insane.
Yeah,
it's a cool instrument, I think.
And yeah, like I said, when I played it, it was, I was listening to it, I was like, what? it was really it really adds an interesting atmosphere to the song. It kind of changes the feel to something more intense, I guess. I don't know if that's mm-hmm. a good word for it. Anyway, so another song that I keep playing, honestly, I really love this one. It's the theme from Green Hill Zone, from Sonic the Hedgehog. And that theme is, you know, the from Sonic, the original Sonic, that is the theme that everybody remembers because most people get it, and then they're like, yay, Sonic, and then they stop playing after, like, level 4.
It gets pretty hard,
It does. But the Green Hill Zone theme was is is really popular with remixers, and I've never heard a version like this. One of the things I actually want to ask you is, how do you choose the songs that you put on the album? You know, you have your Double Dragon, you have your Green Zone. You also have Guile's theme, because Guile goes with everything. You have Guile's theme, you have Pokemon, but you said that there is a song that you submitted to OC Remix and that wasn't on the album. So how did you choose which themes to play?
Man, it was a combination of just watching what people said about certain video game songs and going on YouTube, on Reddit and everything else, and just, you know, kind of polling the audience, I guess. And then also, you know, we both just are deeply inspired and by video game music, growing up playing games. So it would be songs that were kind of near and dear to us, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Every single one of these songs on the album is from a game that we've played. You know, we wanted to play material that we knew people would look for and want to hear, but we also wanted to play stuff that was meaningful to us. So that was a big part of it. And there's a whole another, you know, 5 or 10 songs that we haven't cut yet that we got arrangements of as well, that we may do recordings of moving forward too. And, there's a lot of other stuff that we wanted to do that, well, you know, some difficulty licensing songs, which is why Kirby didn't make it on this album, unfortunately. But that's a big hindrance in it as well, is what songs can we legally record and sell, you know? That's a part of it too. So, yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you could get, definitely glad you could get Sonic on there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So this is Green Hill Zone by The Hit Points. If you want to know more about The Hit Points, their links to their Bandcamp and their website and all of that are going to be on starttocontinue.com/interviews and starttocontinue.com/artists and on the show notes for this show. So this is Green Hill Zone by The Hit Points. That was Green Hill Zone by The Hit Points. It's obviously the theme from Sonic the Hedgehog, and you're listening to Press Start to Continue. We were talking about how that theme was just happy, you know.
Yeah,
it's kind of bouncy, and what did you say? It wraps around.
Yeah, the end of it there, the way the chords come around to set it back up for the intro is, yeah. Or I guess in the original it sets back up for the A section of it, but we re-hint the intro a few times in there because the intro is so strong too.
Yeah,
and that
everything there is built so it could just loop really easily, and it just seemed like it really gave you the space to really play with the tune and really. Play around with your solos. Do you guys really like the improvisational? I could talk. The improv part of bluegrass, is that it's a really important aspect of it for you?
Definitely. That's one of the most fun things about it is improvisation is widely accepted and pursued in bluegrass music. So
yeah,
it's like the second jazz, I guess, or something, you know. So
I was on Twitter and I was listening to, I was thinking about bluegrass, like actually just before I found out about your album, and I was like, hey, bluegrass is jazz for white people. Oh my god, it just hit me. I'm like, huh, well, that makes sense. So where do you get your inspiration for the improv, or where do you get your inspiration for writing the tunes, giving them their own individual sound? Is it just sitting around like listening to the tune and just trying to part, or are you playing something and there's a different like an interesting chord that just sets something in your brain? What kicks off the songwriting process?
Man, I think we both listen to a wide variety of music, as much music as we possibly can, you know. I think that's very important as a professional musician, you know, if you're going to do a number of different things in music. We love music of all kinds. So, and you know, including video game music, we love and respect these composers that have, you know, actually composed these melodies but yeah, I wanted to bring it to life and definitely pulled from all kinds of different influences and sources.
Outside
of bluegrass.
Yeah, I mean, you grew up, Matt, right, studying bluegrass, but have played a lot of other things since then. And I grew up playing classical music for a long time. I was in high school and then studied a lot of jazz and came to bluegrass kind of later. But I think we both have such wide variety of interests with music and training with music that a lot of our those different experiences come together for the song. And as you said, you know, like, is it a certain chord or something like that? I mean, we're working on some of these songs. I think there is some life that comes out of it when we start playing it.
Kind of reharming things.
We're working on another weird arrangement of a Kirby song right now that's a bunch of different time signatures and definitely not the original chords. But
the melody's there.
You know, it's there's so many different ways to present all of these songs. You could do so much with them.
Yeah, really. Yeah, that's the thing about gaming music, it gave me the first taste of just like how vast music genres is. I mean, it's so versatile. You can put classical music and jazz fusion kind of themes in these games, and it really broadened my palette for that kind of thing.
Anybody listening knows, if you go to starttocontinue.com, click on theme shows, or I believe they at the top, there are a couple of jazz shows that if anybody wants to contrast compare. Awesome. So just click on starttocontinue.com and check that out. Two more questions. One, yeah. How many times does the key signature change? In that song.
In the new one we're working on?
Yeah, I won't ask like too much about it, but that always interests me, like the time signature like flipping back and forth or going through different
stuff. That one we're starting it in 7, right? It starts at 7 and it goes to 6, then back to 7. Or is it 7, 6, five then 5, and then wraps back around to 7?
We don't have a chart in front of us.
We don't have it finished yet. We were kind of playing through it a few nights ago, and then I would say it's tonally in the one key the whole time, but there's a lot of chords borrowed from other keys, a lot of reharmonization going on there. So now that we've talked about it on your show, we'll have to finish doing it.
I gotcha.
Put it out there.
Yeah, press start to continue. We kind of music geek out sometimes. I'm sorry. No, I'm apologizing to the listeners. They're like,
yeah, we're down all the way.
7. So the second question I had was, you had classical training, and you started off on violin. So what is the difference between a violin and a fiddle?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, there's a lot of jokes that can be inserted here about that. Some people say a violin has strings, a fiddle has strings. But there is no real difference between them. They're the same instrument. It's really just the style of music. Fiddle players play more, I would say bluegrass and fiddle styles, like Texas style fiddle is a thing. I mean, violin's more of I guess you use it to refer to more of a classical tradition of things, but it's the exact same instrument, really just the style of music you play. Sometimes fiddle players will set up their instrument a little bit differently. The action may be a little bit lower, makes it easier to get double stops playing two notes at a time like that. And they'll have a less rounded bridge sometimes for that reason as well. Maybe the tightness of the bow, but same instrument. So a fiddle player can play a violin, violinist can play a fiddle.
I didn't know if there was a physical difference between, like, if I know that some fiddle players do shave down the bridge, I guess.
Yeah, exactly, right. it makes it a little easier to play double stops sometimes, which is kind of a standard thing with fiddle music a lot of times.
All right. Is there anything else that I missed that you'd like to talk about? Because that's all the questions I have, but I'm sure I missed something.
I guess
the album.
The album's available.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to check it out, it's available on our Bandcamp. You can stream it for free on Bandcamp. You purchase it there if you want to. It's also on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and several other streaming services.
Are we playing another song off the record, or?
Yeah, we're gonna end up on the Double Dragon theme.
Okay.
If you go to starttocontinue.com, there's links on the show notes for this show, and like I said, on the artist page where all the other artists that I play and that I've talked to are listed there, so you can find their Twitter, their Bandcamp, their website, things like that. So you were going to say about Double Dragon?
Yes. Double Dragon. I was one of the first games I ever played on the NES. The second one, actually. And fell in love with those themes. And, the opening theme is pretty rocking. So, but also loved the Mission 1 theme, because of the epic guitar solo. But just wanted to take a different approach on it and create a different feel, and gave it more of like a 6/8 kind of vibe.
Yeah.
I guess another thing about this project is, we also do original music as well. Mm-hmm. And we've both, have a lot of original music and have toured that around, and we've always been fans of game music, obviously. But yeah, man, we just love to score games.
We write a lot, and it's been one of our shared dream of ours to write for games since we were kids.
Yeah.
We're always open to doing that. You know, we do a lot of original writing. We may put out an original album or maybe an EP using this band to put out some of that stuff at some point too.
Soon, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that. So everybody keep an eye out on the website, and it's just thehitpointsband.com, I believe.
Just thehitpoints.com for the website. Our band camp, I think, is Hit Points Band.
Right. Okay. So all of the stuff that my brain isn't holding will be on the website and on the show notes here, like I said. If you're listening on the podcast or the radio, if you want to hear the full uncut version of this interview, then you can go to starttocontinue.com/interviews, and you can definitely listen to that. And that's, let's see, we're gonna go out on the Double Dragon theme. This is Double Dragon Theme Mission 1 by The Hit Points from their new album, The Hit Points, that it's available now, like I said, on all these different kinds of services. And thanks for coming, guys.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having us.
This was fun. So you've been listening to Press Start to Continue. I hope you had a great night, and I'll talk to you next time. Thank you.